Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. This week we have turned to a key biblically-based statement in the Westminster Shorter Catechism to demonstrate how God uses his own free will to predestine. Predestination is our subject, based on Romans 8, verse 29, which says, "For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined." Let me read the doctrinal statement of interest to us, and then we will continue our way through it, all as a way to talk about the freedom of God's will. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. That is a very concise way to summarize what Scripture says about God concerning his sovereign will in predestination. And we begin with the phrase, for his own glory. And I said that by glory I mean the greatness and magnificence of God. And everything God does is for his own glory. I had that hymn written by Fanny Crosby dancing through my mind all day yesterday. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Indeed, our salvation is great, and to God be the glory for how he has predestined us by his grace. And now let's take up this statement again, and I want to focus on this, God's eternal purpose. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose. What is meant here by eternal? I think Charles Hodge puts it best. God sees the end from the beginning. The distinctions of time have no reference to him who inhabits eternity. The scriptures, therefore, always speak of events in time as revelations of a purpose formed in eternity. Think of what he is saying this way. For God, there is not the past or the future. There is not before or after. Past and future, before and after, are descriptive of time. And because God is eternal, he is not bound by time. He is timeless. But we, of course, are bound by time. I have a certain amount of time to speak with you. It goes quickly, and it is running out as I speak. And you only have a certain amount of time to listen, and then you have to go and spend remaining time on something else. So God is above and beyond time, and in eternity he forms his purpose. We are coming to that word next. But then human history, in all its details, is where we see the eternal purpose of God unfolding, so that whatever happens within our time, in this world, whatsoever comes to pass does so because God has purposed that it will. Hodge said, "The scriptures, therefore, always speak of events in time as revelations of a purpose formed in eternity." So let's let scripture teach us, and I'm thinking of Ephesians chapter 3, and I will pick up the reading in verse 8 and read through verse 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. To me, Paul, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Let me pause here and just point to the fact that the Apostle Paul is going to bring to light what is the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God. That is another way of saying what is now brought to light in human time is that which has from eternity been hidden in God. God has a purpose. God has a plan, and now that purpose and plan is being revealed to us. God, from beyond time, reveals his eternal purpose to us who live within the bounds of time. I will skip verse 10 and get to verse 11 in Ephesians 3. Paul continues, "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So God's eternal purpose is carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus comes to us in time, in the first century AD, and he lives out the eternal, from before time, purpose of God to save sinners from sin. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. I'm reading the Apostle Paul again in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. "God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." This is very clear. God. Salvation is a work of God and God alone. God saved us, called us, not according to our works. Salvation is never by our good works, but according to God's own, listen, purpose and grace. This was granted us in Christ Jesus from when? From all eternity. 2 Timothy 1, 9. God, in eternity, sets his purpose. Then Jesus Christ comes into the world to carry out, to fulfill the eternal purpose of God. So when we meet Jesus in the Gospels, we are reading about his ministry in time. We know the dates on our calendars. Christ has brought eternity into time. We get to see God's purpose, God's plan revealed in human time by Christ. And so we must ask, what is God's purpose? I'm going to answer briefly using another theologian. He is Louis Burkhoff. He also wrote a systematic theology well after Charles Hodge. And in his systematic theology, Burkhoff writes about God's purpose, defining it as one comprehensive plan embracing all that comes to pass. End quote. God, in his wisdom, in one simultaneous act, in eternity, sets in motion everything that comes to pass in this world that he created. That is, everyone that has ever lived in this world, and everything that has ever happened in this world. All who have lived and all that has happened have done so because God has willed it according to his eternal purpose. And I hope you are getting a sense for how this affects us. It should not surprise us that God has predestined certain people to be saved from sin and certain other people to be passed over and not saved from their sin. Because in God's eternal purpose, he has predestined everything. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. In a simple, albeit profound way, if we want to answer why we are saved, we can say, because it was within the eternal purpose of God to save me. And if we want to answer why someone else who has died without being saved from their sin, we can say, because it was not within the eternal purpose of God to save that person. Typically, immediately, we then ask, okay, but why would God pass over anyone? Why wouldn't it be within the eternal purpose of God to save from sin all who ever lived, are living, or who will live? We will tackle this when we talk about human free will, but I'm going to give you my honest, succinct answer now. Are you ready? I don't know. I do not know why God does not save everyone. But here is what I do know. God has an eternal purpose. His purpose is perfect. It is made according to the counsel of God's will for his own glory. And it is revealed to us over the course of history. Our own history that we are making today and the history that already is. Today we have taken the doctrinal statement and talked about two more parts. God's eternal purpose. We are making fast progress. The statement reads, "The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass." Tomorrow, we will talk about how God's will is free. Tomorrow, how God's will is a free will. Persevere with us, friends. This may seem too complicated, does it? Well, it will not be once you have the complete understanding. So even if you do not fully understand yet, come back again next time as we continue to understand how God's will is a free will, and how God uses his free will in predestination. Join us because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.